I want to talk to you this morning about something that's not necessarily possible. This morning's message is called Christmas in the Land of Uz. Christmas in the Land of Uz. Now, Uz is actually a country, all right? It was a place in the Old Testament, and it is the place where our friend Job lived. Job was from the land of Uz. Now, if I'm going to do Christmas, I'm going to include Job, and I'm going to be in the Old Testament nearly 2,000 years before Matthew, you might already see a problem with my theology, all right? Christmas is the celebration of the birth of whom? Christ, that's right. And so in the Old Testament, guess who wasn't born yet? Especially 2,000 years before. So how can there be Christmas in the land of Uz? Well, there's not. There's not, but I want to read to you a passage that comes after, you ready? After things that bring us down. After things that paralyze us. After things that break our spirit. After we've gone through a long period of time. You see, I wish that giving and receiving and joy and peace were not December things. Now, I recognize that materialism has driven the meaning of Christmas away, but it's also made Christmas last since Halloween. So that's good. We're getting a little bit more peace on earth, goodwill toward men, if the heart is in it. But I wish there were peace on earth, goodwill toward men, or actually peace on those to whom his favor rests, but that's another sermon. I wish it would be a year-round thing, but it's not. It's not. We should live, love, and serve this way. But the bottom line is, as we go throughout the year, pain comes and joy comes. Things that slam up against our realities come, all right? And things that bless our hearts come. And as we looked at the wilderness, Job was one of the places where we saw a man who ended up literally in his wilderness, all right? I don't know if you know the story, but Satan goes to God and he says, hey, I've looked the whole world over and I just don't think it's as good as you say it is. There's nobody out there. And God says, yeah, there is. Yeah, there is. There's this guy named Job. And Satan says, yeah, but he's only good because you bless him. Look at everything you have. And God says, all right, go take everything he's got. He still won't curse me. And Satan does come in with God's permission. And that's important, my favorite part there. With God's permission, he literally takes all of his donkeys, all of his mules, all of his land, all of his barns, and all of his children die in a matter of minutes. All of them. He loses everything. And he doesn't curse God. And Satan comes back and God says, that's what I'm talking about. And Satan says, well, you didn't let me touch him. You let me touch everything but him. He says, you can touch him, but don't kill him. And he strikes him down with the worst boils, the worst sores that you can imagine. Things that hurt in such a way that he took pottery and broke it and cut himself to, instead of scratching, to ease the pain, relieve the pain. But he still never, you know, his wife said, curse God and die. And he said, a song that we sing often, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. All right? We go through chapter after chapter after chapter of Job trying to turn to some friends. Friends trying to help out and say things. And listen, there's some good things in there. There's some good things in there. But for the most part, it is of little help until God finally comes in. I mean, and he comes in with a thunder. He comes in with the boom. He starts just laying down the law. All right? And after that, we get to this. Oh, there we go. Maybe. All right. After Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortune and gave to him twice as much as he had had before. All of his brothers and sisters and everyone who had known him before came and ate with him in his house. They comforted him and consoled him over the trouble the Lord had brought upon him. And each one gave him a piece of silver and a gold ring. And the Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 donkeys, 7 sons, 3 daughters. The second, Keziah, the third, Karen, Hapak, nowhere in all the land were there found women as beautiful as Job's daughters, and their father granted them an inheritance. And Job lived 140 years and saw his children and their children to the fourth generation. I don't know what Christmas looks like for you, but all his brothers and sisters and everyone who had known him came and ate with him. One of the things that tends to happen all around Christmas is that families gather. Look around. Our children, our grandchildren, our aunts, our uncles. Churches have higher attendance because even though some people are traveling, other people are traveling in. So we get brothers, we get sisters-in-laws, we get aunts, we get uncles, we get grandparents, all right? And our numbers tend to go up. Why? Because family gather together. Christmas is about family. Another thing that happens, especially if you're Baptist, all his brothers and sisters came and they ate with him in his house. Yes, every good Baptist knows, and any church, any Christian knows that you gather together and you eat. And so you will go to family's house. It will be Thanksgiving part two. But maybe that a turkey is the centerpiece of yours. In the Old Testament, it was likely a fatted calf. Remember the story of the prodigal son when a celebration was given? The large fattened calf was brought in. It was the one that was raised to be the food. I read an interesting thing about this one. You ready for this? The centerpiece of this might have been ostrich. I know that sounds really weird, but earlier in the book of Job, Job goes on a rant about how easy ostriches are to catch because they're stupid animals, and perhaps God had made them large and stupid so that we could eat well. This is actually to be inferred in the scripture. That's the funniest thing ever. What'd you do? I killed the fatted ostrich. What else? We made the biggest egg casserole ever. Ever. All right? So, there is family. There are friends. There is a large meal. All right? Ready for this? Look toward the end. And each one gave him what? Oh, not that. Come on, show it. And each one gave him a piece of silver and a gold ring. What else do we do at Christmas? We give gifts. So you have family. You have food, you have fellowship, and you have gifts in the land of Uz. Anybody else sound like Christmas? It does. Here's the part that's odd. Here's the part that I want us to learn today. Did this sentence give anyone trouble? They comforted and consoled him over all the trouble the Lord had brought on him. Bother anybody? Why? Why? They didn't get it. They didn't understand. Everything we see about Job, everything we see in the other 40-ish chapters, all right, tells us about the stable mind of Job. Now, Job admits wholeheartedly that when he was covered in sores and when his friends came along, the itch didn't go away. Jamie, over the last several days, has been pretty free of her migraines, and that's been great. But over the last several days, one migraine has come along, all right? And the day it began, like Monday, it was bad, it was painful, but she's fine with that, all right? Tuesday, it was still there, and you know, it was bothering her a little more. Not because it hurt any worse, but because after 24 hours, after 48 hours, it's just... Wednesday, about that afternoon, I could feel the misery in her countenance, on her face. And again, it wasn't about the strength of the headache. It was about the length of time which it lingered, and that pain just would not go away. And then day four, you know, she's not helping it. She can't help it. You know, I know that she's upset. She's responding to me, not out of anger, but out of pain. You see what I'm saying? Job did that. Don't you think in some of the conversations with his friends, see, we think maybe the boils were gone during that time, but they weren't. He's hurting this whole time. And he says, you know, I probably responded to my friends in some ways that weren't as nice as they could have been. Anybody ever done that? Family come over. Last night, you cook for your family, and you burn your finger because the grease jumps out the pan and lands on your thumb, and that's all well and good till you're putting your shoes on after baptism. Use your thumb as a shoehorn and rip the skin right off the top. Yeah, that just now happened. Yeah. So things happen and you get a little frustrated, and then the kid comes up and spills a drink and you get a little more frustrated. All right, y'all with me? Frustration happens. We start to get bitter. We start to get angry. Family starts to get us. You're having church and kids everywhere are talking and gabbing and yelling and screaming and you just can't hear. And it might get a little frustrating. You know what I think Job did? I think they're having their party and they're sitting over the dinner and they start saying, "We're so sorry about what God did to you. We're so sorry." And they start chiming in and Job's quiet for about a minute. And then I think Job said, "Hey guys, I got to call a timeout on you here. I don't think you understand what happened. I don't think you understand what happened. Can I tell you what happened to me as if I'm speaking from Job's perspective? I lost everything. But in that loss, I found something too. I experienced pain. But in that pain, I found something too. In crying out to God from my misery, I recognized that out there was a loving, powerful, fierce, exciting God who in His own way was nothing like me. There is no blemish in Him. There is no pain in Him. There is no fear in Him. There is no hopelessness in Him. He is so far removed from me in my pain, and I recognize that. But I also recognize the need, and Job mentions this, the need for a mediator. For somebody to be between my pain, my hopelessness, my brokenness, and God. He said, and throughout these whole conversations that I had with my buddies, I recognized that somebody was going to have to take my brokenness, my pain, my sin, are you starting to catch on? And reconcile me unto God. And 2,000 years before Jesus, Job was able to identify in his conversations the need for a mediator, one who will come, and for a redeemer. One will take him from his brokenness and grant him more than he could ever imagine. And Job said, "Can I teach you what I learned? I learned that in my pain, there is more. In my hopelessness, there is more. I learned that God would say, there is evil in the world, and He would call out two beasts, the behemoth and the leviathan, and He would describe them as powerful and as fiery and as damaging. And that is exemplary of the evil that is in this world. But there is a God that in His own manner, a God that in His own way will save the world from that evil. And maybe He'll do it as a king. Maybe He'll do it with gifts. Maybe He'll do it through nature. Or maybe He'll do it with a baby. I don't know. That'd be like Him. That'd be like Him. He said, I would never trade. I would never trade anything that I have learned in my brokenness and my pain for what I now know. There is a God who will speak for me when I can't speak for myself. There is a God who will love me when I will stop loving myself and when all around me will stop loving me too. There is a God who will never give up on me even when everyone else will give up on me. And there is a God when I cannot overcome sin, when I cannot overcome shame, when I cannot overcome death, when I cannot overcome pain. There is a God who will come and will take it away for me. Merry Christmas. I think sitting at the table that day, Job realized what the world would need and what the world would receive way before. A mediator and a redeemer. Interestingly enough, I don't think that the gifts that were given, I don't think they were random. In the Old Testament, silver was a gift of redemption, and gold was the gift of a king. Do you think that it's any clueless, any unclear thing that right after he says the line about the trouble God brought on him? No, what was brought on me was a kingly redeemer. This is the Christmas story in the land of Uz. The gift that is given is a redeeming king. Didn't know that, did you? Well, everybody but Steve. Come on, I'm with him. I just want some, You know what's better than ostrich? Jesus. Right. You know what's better than gifts? Jesus. Right. You know what's better than family? Jesus. You know what's better than church? Jesus. Do you know what was planned before the earth began? Jesus. Do you know that it was for you? Jesus is for you. In this life, there will be brokenness and there will be pain. There will be joy and there will be laughter. There will be family, there will be friends. There will be family who are your friends. There will be family who are not. There will be family that you will do Christmas with, but you will never go to Myrtle Beach with. And that is okay. But whatever good or bad comes your way, hear this. Nothing, neither height, nor depth, nor principalities, nor powers of darkness, nor angels, nor demons, nothing can separate you from the love that is in Christ Jesus or the gift that was given. Listen, on your behalf. Receive it or not is irrelevant to this fact. It was given for you, to you, by Him. Literally, you can take it or leave it. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Close enough. Let's pray. God, I thank you for every child in here who cried out. I thank you for every adult in here who came out. I thank you for our church family that's growing. I thank you for our church family that's struggling. I thank you for our church family that's learning. I thank you for our church family that's rising and falling. I thank you, God, for the gift of the last several years that has been nothing short of real. And that is a gift. That is a gift, God, a gift of us doing life together, for richer, for poorer, in good and in bad, when it's all taken away and when you bless us beyond measure. May this Christmas be about this phrase, the good Lord gives and the good Lord takes away. God, fill our hearts with blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.